I want to start a new series today. It's two-parter. It's called Claiming Your Inheritance. That's the title of it. This week and next, I want to talk about you claiming your inheritance. I came across an article about a woman who died in Astoria, Oregon. And we find in this story that she was a homeless woman, and she died in 2020, unaware of an unclaimed inheritance for her in the amount of $884,447. Kathy Boone died in January of 20 in a warming shelter in Astoria, Oregon. She'd been struggling with mental health issues and drug abuse. When her mother died in 2016, she left her daughter the substantial inheritance, but no one was able to locate her. The father said it just didn't make any sense. The money was sitting there, and she needed help in the worst way. Her family took out newspaper ads and even had a private investigator do research to no avail. They couldn't find her. After about a year and a half, the money, $884,000 plus, was transferred to the Department of State Lands. And it isn't known what will happen to the money. Boone, the lady who died, had two children and two biological kids who may make claims to it. She had an inheritance, but she didn't claim it. You see, as we think of 2024, God has an inheritance for you. It comes in different shapes and sizes. It comes in different ways, but he has an inheritance, $884,000 metaphorically, something for you if you want to claim it. Or it can go unclaimed. And so today the title of the message is Give Me This Hill Country. Now, this is the theme for 2024. As Pastor Jack said, 2023 was immeasurably more. It was one of my best years. I got to be honest. I thoroughly enjoyed this past year. It just was an up year, and I'm looking forward to this coming year. Give me this hill country. Here's where it comes from. In the book of Joshua, Caleb is now 85 years old. 85. And 45 years earlier, he was one of 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan by Moses to scout out the land, where they spent 40 days checking it out. 12 guys. You know the story. The 12 came back. 10 of the spies said, the people are strong, they're powerful, and there's no way we can conquer them. Two guys, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, the people are big and they're strong, but with God's help, we can do this. Now, 10 were against it, 2 were for it, the majority won. And the 10 men, the ones who brought back a negative report, spread it among the people, some 2 million people, and began to grumble and complain. And God said, if you don't want to believe me for your inheritance, if you don't want to claim it as your own, even though it may be tough, if you don't want to do it, fine. And you know the story, that generation did not go in. And for the next 40 years, they walked around the desert, and everyone 20 years in age of older died, except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. And so we find here that the children of the people who complained were the ones that went into the promised land. Now it's 45 years later, and Caleb is 85 years old, and he gets a second shot at the promised land. And when he gets in there, he says, give me the hill country that Moses, 45 years earlier, promised me. I want it. Hebron was special to him. You know why? His ancestors were buried there. He wanted to reclaim it. It was under enemy control. He wanted it back. He wanted to clean it up. Give me the hill country. I want it. He waited 45 years to get the second opportunity. Maybe there's a promise God has given you in your life that hasn't happened yet. And you've been waiting decades. Caleb had to wait a long time. Don't give up on their promise. If you feel like it's something special God has dropped into your heart, you're drawn to it, you're attracted to it, hang on to it. Have faith for it. And so he waited 45 years and he says, okay, give me the hill country. I'm going to claim it and I'm going to take it back. So when we think about this story, it's kind of the text of this morning. And I want us to read it together. It's in your notes. There's three paragraphs there. Let's read the story, Joshua 14, together. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. I want to give you a definition of the hill country. It's real simple. It's in your notes. It's God's inheritance to you. God has a hill country for every person here to claim in 2024. It's there. Just as he gave it to Caleb, there's something he wants to give to you if you want to claim it. And I thought about the different kinds of inheritances there are. And so this morning in the remainder of the message, I want to share three different kinds. And you can find yourself in here in which one God is working with you to bless you in different ways. But let's get started. Number one, the first kind of inheritance is what I call a spiritual inheritance. Read with me Ephesians 1:18 in your notes. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, in the New Testament, Paul calls the spiritual eternal kingdom of Christ a type of inheritance. And understand, it's for everybody. I want you to think of it as an eternal bank vault. We all know what a vault is. It contains riches, gold and silver or dollars. And so there's something spiritually God wants to give each of us as a spiritual inheritance. Let me give you some examples. Forgiveness from God. If you're here today and you know that your sins are forgiven and you go home tonight and you go to sleep or try to go to sleep and you have this sense of peace in your life, can I tell you, that is an amazing richness of life. Forgiveness, knowing it personally. Say, I'm good with God. I've messed up a lot, but I'm forgiven. How about this? Forgiving yourself. Do you realize that when God forgives us, he gives you the authority to forgive yourself? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't hold many grudges against people. I have a hard time with myself. I'm working on some things, but I have made a lot of progress to forgive myself. You may be here today. Can I tell you, that's a spiritual inheritance. If you go to work on the area of your life that you have a grudge against yourself, Let me tell you, when you get freed up, oh, that's riches of God's grace at work. How about this one? Forgiving other people. Sometimes people get snagged up on the inside and they hold unforgiveness toward another person. And somebody said that unforgiveness toward another person is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. But when you and I get to the place of understanding, Jesus says, hey, I have power to help you forgive the other person who they wronged you. Let me tell you, when you get that worked into your soul and you are set free, you're dealing with spiritual truth that are riches. Not everybody gets there. Here's another one. How about the assurance that if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? I grew up in Iowa, and I remember in a confirmation class or a youth group meeting, we had a special speaker. I'm just a teenager, and some guy came in. He's probably 19, 20, 21, and here's what he said. He said, if I drive home today, and I have an auto accident, and I die, I know I'm going to heaven. He had the assurance. And I'm sitting there as a kid listening to this, and I did not have that. How does that work? Now, as time went on and as years passed and I learned more and understood the scriptures more, I finally got the assurance myself. It took me a while. But if I died today, I believe I'd go to heaven. All because, I don't know, there's a peace in my heart and I've confessed my sins. I'm trying to abide. And let me tell you, that's a rich experience when you have that. Now, there are many other categories. Laura's been teaching the series on heaven. And it's a great series because it tells us where we're going. Streets of gold, and it's a place where there's no pain or tears or dying. I tell you, that's an amazing place to want to go to. The more you understand those things, the more you're going to build your own treasure chest of a spiritual inheritance. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul writes this, now we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I want to explain something. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, the Father gave Christ the authority over everything. I mean, he's the one in charge. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the king of kings. He is the ruler. He is the one that controls it all. And in Romans, here's what it says. Paul says we are a co-heir, a joint heir with Christ. You know what that means? Everything that Christ received from the Father is ours. It's ours. And so it's a spiritual inheritance. And here's the slide. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. I claim my divine rights as a child of God. Now here's the point. It's great coming to church on Sundays. Make sure you have your regular devotions at home. Make sure you get a part of a life group. Do some study with other people. You know what you're doing? You're claiming your divine rights as God's child. You're building a treasure chest of truth that will help you during life's journey. There's so many of them. Paul says they're like riches, glorious riches, spiritual inheritance of the saints. So, point number one, your hill country, 2024. Dig deep into the scriptures, make it happen, and build your treasure chest of the eternal riches that Christ wants to give you. If you don't, listen, metaphorically, you're leaving $884,000 on the table that could be yours. Spiritual riches are yours. Number two, the second area that I think is a hill country is this. It's a ministry inheritance. A ministry inheritance. Read with me, John 21, 16. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Do you realize you're a shepherd? And God has given everybody here an assignment to take care of sheep. What are sheep? People. It's a ministry inheritance. God has in 2024 prepared for you and your gifts to serve people in such a way that you will be a blessing and you'll bless other people. He said, feed my sheep. Now let me say, you first start in your own family. Take care of the people around you. Then you enlarge the circle and you take care of the people in your neighborhood. Or you come to church and you care for people through the church. You care for people where you work. You become a shepherd of taking care of people. I was up at the jail Friday and had this conversation in some of the services with the people there. And I said, you can take care of people even here. You don't have to wait till you go home. Do it right there. See, God gives us ministry inheritance, caring for people. Be the best neighbor you can be on your block. People will come to you. You're dependable. You're consistent. You're fun to be around. People are drawn to people who are consistent, loving, generous, and they're ready just to help. Be the best neighbor you can be on your block. And so this whole thing about caring for people is a big deal. Read with me Colossians 4:17 in your notes. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. See, God's ready to give you opportunities to care for people, and we must complete that work. Now, the next couple of verses is Zechariah 8:12-9b. It's hanging in the Harvey Center. These verses are the foundation verses from 2000 going forward that we've just really believed it was the central promise that God had given to us as a church family. So let's read it together. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crop. And the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. Here's what it's saying. The seed is the word of God. The vine is your fruitfulness. Do you realize God just wants to make you fruitful and be a blessing to people wherever you go? The vine will yield its fruit. And it says the ground will produce its crops. That's a harvest. That's other people. We're in the business of harvesting people. We want to help them. We want to help them find Christ and be a blessing to them. And it goes on to say, the heavens will drop their dew. That's his blessing and anointing. And then he says this, I will give all these things as an inheritance. As an inheritance. $884,000 metaphorically. God wants to use you to be a blessing to other people. I'll give you this as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Here's a quote. All right. A kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Do you realize that you have people in your sphere of influence that a simple gesture of kindness could heal a wound in their life? You. This coming week, you're going to have opportunities to take care of sheep, people, at where you work, in your home, you bump into them at the grocery store. A kind gesture, maybe it's a smile, a word of encouragement. Maybe it's buying somebody a cup of coffee, doing something to meet a need, can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Here's another quote. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. I thought that was pretty good. You know, service to others. So understand you have a ministry inheritance of caring for people. Just be available. Let God use you to be the best encourager for every person you bump into. Let me tell you, you become magnetic and God will truly bless you going forward. So number one, spiritual inheritance. Fill your treasure chest of the eternal truth of what is coming in the next life. Number two, ministry experience. This is like taking care of sheep, being a blessing to people. Number three. The third one is this. It's material inheritance. Material inheritance. Read with me Deuteronomy 28:8 in your notes. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a book of blessings upon people when they're obedient to God. The last part of the chapter, which is very lengthy, talks about the curses of disobedience. But here's one of the blessings identified in the first part of the chapter. Listen closely. The Lord will bless your barns. Now for Caleb, he inherited a bunch of property. He didn't work for it. He didn't earn it on his own, but God gave it to him. He had to wait for it. He inherited property. And when you think about the blessing on your barns, the word barns represents your life. It's your material possessions, your house, your apartment, where you live, your bank accounts, could be your job, could be, it's all that. And it could be fields or property. And it says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. 2024, listen closely. God may want to bless your barns. You know what that means? It means that when you and I are faithful with what we have in small things, God will reward you with bigger things. It's not just a Santa Claus deal. I mean, we have to show ourselves as faithful in being a good steward of what we got, our money. Are we tithing? Are we giving? Do I live open-handed? Am I generous to other people, or do I hang on to it too tightly? When God looks down upon a group of people, he's looking for at least one who is faithful in the small things, honors God with their life, their tithers, they give generously, they're helping to meet needs in people. You know what he'll do? Listen, he'll bless your barns. He'll expand them. And you'll say, where did that come from? Well, it's the blessing of God upon a person's life, and it can involve material blessings. God has an inheritance in this category for each of us. Blessing our barns, and it says, and on everything you put your hand to, if we show ourselves faithful in the small things with what we've got, he promises he'll bless us with more to be a steward of it. You know why? He just wants to bless the world. And the more he can pour into someone's life, the greater they will pour out to other people, and they will be a greater blessing themselves. Here's a quote. God gives us abundant material blessing so that we can give it away and give it generously. If you're here today and God has blessed you, let me tell you, just somehow, some way, keep it going. Be generous with other people. You know why? He'll multiply what you give away. And he'll turn it into something better. All right, here's another quote. Be a river, not a reservoir. A river flows. A reservoir keeps the water within itself. Some people's lives are greatly blessed materially. I mean, they're good job, they've worked hard, whatever, but they're reservoirs. Oh, they might help once in a while here and there, but the reservoir retains what it has. It holds on to it, and instead of giving it out like a river, they hold on to it. And God says, hey, if you're willing to be a river, you're going to let it flow through you. You're not going to, hey, you can enjoy it if he blesses you, but you take part of it and the river flows through you and you bless somebody else with it, he'll expand and enlarge the river. And it says he'll bless your barns. I came across this quote. I thought it was good. Here's the next one. We are called to be world changers, but not world chasers. Now, let me explain that. We do not want to be people that chase the world or chase money. But if we chase God and we honor him with what we have, we can become a world changer. You know why? It increases. The river gets bigger. It's expanded. He multiplies it. He's looking for a heart to flow through that has a river to be a greater blessing for other people. Lord willing, as we meet a year from today, or at the end of 2024, some of you are going to have an amazing story of God blessing your barns. I mean, you have no idea in what he could do with anyone's life if they're truly committed and they honor him, of how he can bless your fields, your job, your income. He can provide unexpectedly. But he can bless your barns and everything you do materially. Caleb inherited a chunk of land. It was given to him as an inheritance. It's a way cool story. So three simple inheritances that are our Hill Country in 2024. Spiritual inheritance. Hey, go to work on the $884,000 that's on the table. You and I have to claim it. We got to go to work on it. Say, hey, I want to understand more about this walk with Christ and living the abundant life. Number two, ministry inheritance. And let me just say to everybody here, I hope that you will care for the sheep in your life. As I said earlier, start with your family, but then become a bigger-hearted person. Care for the people in your sphere of influence. God's got people that are broken that he will send into somebody's life to speak a word of encouragement to bless them, to lift them up. I read where we rise when we lift other people. Isn't that true? We rise when we lift other people. And then lastly, material inheritance. You know, money's not everything in life, but I tell you, you can do a lot with it. And God is looking for an individual, a couple, a family, whoever it is, that is faithful with small things. And when God sees that heart that is faithful with small things, let me tell you, he'll give you greater things to steward or to manage. He will bless your barns, whatever that might be. Concluding remark, there's a secret to Caleb's life. And read with me the very last verse in Joshua 13, 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Here's his insight. Here's the secret. Three times in this passage, the word wholeheartedly is used. What set Joshua and Caleb apart from the other 10 spies 45 years earlier? Joshua and Caleb were all in to God. They were surrendered. They yielded. The other 10 weren't. I mean, they just saw the problems. And so we find here wholeheartedly is the secret of being a Caleb in 2024. So as we wrap up this message and we start the new year tomorrow, are you wholehearted? What does that mean? It means I've given my life to Christ, and I'm not only giving it to him, I'm fully surrendered. He's got my all. I'm yielded. I submit to him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And when God finds a person that submits to the lordship of Christ, let me tell you, he will begin to pour into your life. He'll just make it happen. And the world needs people. I mean, the world is broken. There's people hurting out there. God needs people who are available to first receive your inheritance. The lady, Kathy Boone, she died not even knowing about it. Do you realize there's people in Walton and in the county, lots of them, they're like Kathy Boone. They don't have a clue about the inheritance that God would want to give them. They just haven't figured it out. You and I are on mission to help people figure that out so that God can give to them the inheritance he has for them. But the secret to being a Caleb in 2024, are you all in? Are you surrendered? Are you saying, God, here I am. Take my life. Use me and make it happen. Let's bow for prayer. I'd like for you to take just a moment and in your own way, surrender yourself to God in a new way. Fully yield. Give him your life. Open your heart. Maybe you've been trying to do life on your own. Just confess that. Say, God, forgive me of my sin of just trying to live independent of you. And let his peace and promise capture your heart today in a new way. Just let it grip your heart, his grace and his mercy, and say, God, I'm not perfect, but I am available. And just give him everything and say, Lord, I want to be wholehearted in 2024. And I want to claim the inheritances that you have for me. Just pray that to him right now. Father, we just offer ourselves to you this morning. We open our hearts. We surrender and submit to you. And we want to be wholehearted, fully yielded to you. If there's anybody here, Lord, that's not there yet, I just pray for them now. They can pray this simple prayer after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of trying to do it on my own. Forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart and I ask Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. And I pray that in the coming year, I'll claim the inheritances, the spiritual ones, the ministry ones of caring for other sheep, and the material inheritance of what you want to pour out into my life. Take my life. Use me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.